I think the biggest danger to the church today is that right now our kids that we raise in Christian homes, Christian families, and Christian churches, depending on which study you look at, between 71 and 88% of our Christian kids renounce their faith while they're at college. Mm-hmm. And that's because they don't know what they believe. They know what they believe, they can't defend it.
Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, join Kenneth Copeland and David Barton as they teach you how to transfer your trust from the failing system of this world onto the ever-increasing system of the Kingdom of God. Now, here's Kenneth.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Let's have a word of prayer. We get right into today's Bible lesson. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We open our hearts and we open our minds for revelation from heaven. Father, show us Jesus. Our hearts are hungry, and your word says we'll be filled. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you join me again today in welcoming David Barton to the studio? Praise God, David. I'm so glad you're here. Listen, we had a good time last week.
We did.
And talking about, actually, if you just summarize what I believe he's pulling the whole body of Christ into him right now to do, is to begin to think like he thinks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk like he talks. Act like he acts. Now, Jesus is the perfect picture of that. He came into the earth. He talked like God, he thought like God, he acted like God, and he got God results. Yeah. Amen. Well, he said that any man that'll hear my sayings and do them, I liken him to a wise man. Yeah. He didn't say he had to be wise, just act like one.
Yeah.
And you get a wise man's results.
Yeah.
But if you act like a fool and talk like a fool and you walk like a fool, you're going to get a fool's results.
Yeah.
So God, all my heart, it's time for the body of Christ to rise up to that place that Jesus talked about. If you see me, you've seen God.
Yeah.
If you've seen the body of Christ, you see what God acts like, you hear what God sounds like, and you can finally think like him.
Yeah.
And get out of that darkness.
Yeah, that's right.
And we're there if we take the opportunity that he's offering
us. That's the manifestation we talked about last week. The whole creation's waiting for the sons of God to be manifest, to act like the sons of God, to do what they're supposed to do, to think like it, to talk like it. That's what the whole world's waiting on, is for us to show up and act like we're supposed to
act.
Yeah.
The Creator created the creation.
Yeah.
And now the creation's crying out for the one that created it. I got to have your power to live.
Yeah.
Well, people ought to be at least half smart as dirt. Well, you can figure that out.
From it, they ought to,
yeah. Now, let's go over the 12th chapter of Romans. Let's begin there, David. In the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Ghost, begins like this. I beseech you. Can you hear it in his voice? Come on, man. By the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, the Scripture says that body don't belong to you. Jesus bought and paid for it. It's his. Well, take to him what's his. Then, don't be conformed to this world. Now, let's stop and in fact, let's look over there at Colossians chapter 1 and put our eyes on it. And we'll inject this that he wrote to the church at Colossae. He said in verse 12, give thanks unto the Father, which has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who? God has delivered us from the authority of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So we've been taken out of that. The moment you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you were born again, your spirit man recreated. The authority of darkness lost its hold on you.
Yeah.
You don't live there anymore.
Yeah.
And he put you over into the kingdom of God. All right, now he's saying, don't be conformed
to that.
You've been redeemed from the authority of it. Don't live over there under their rules because you're not subject to that. You've been placed over here in the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Now, that you may prove, and don't be conformed to this world, but you be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The natural carnal thinking man and the natural carnal thinking Christian have an idea that you never know what the will of God is anyway, and if you did, how could you ever prove it? He says right here, you can absolutely prove it out in your life.
That's right. It's easy to know. And one of the things that sticks out with that is coming out of that kingdom, there's always choices to make. And we talked about that some last week. I mean, this Bible is the one I always point to. It's 1599. It's the one that says, hey, look, here's what the culture's doing. Here's what the Bible says. Don't do what the culture says. Do what the Bible says.
Now, they made a specific effort to find out how God thinks about government, how he thinks.
That's right.
What are we doing wrong here?
Yeah. See, we're just kind of going with the flow, and we've got a relationship with Jesus, but we're still in the flow. We're supposed to be over here. One of the things that's always stood out to me, and there's so many passages on this, two words that stand out in a Christian life. If you're going to not be conformed to the world, you got to choose to be different, and then you got to discipline yourself to be different. Paul says, I have to buffet my body daily, otherwise I'm going to be a castaway to the very things I preach. You have Romans 8:13 where it says you got to mortify the deeds of the flesh so that you can live.
Then those are choices. Corinthians 6, he said, you come out from among
that. That's right.
You get out of that.
Don't be like
Get out of that.
Get out. Think different, act different. But see, you can't do that if you don't know this. And that's what we talked about last week. This is the foundation. You got to say, you know, I don't necessarily know what that means, but I believe it's right, even if I don't understand. And that's where we often get to think, you know, I just don't think I agree with that. The way I've been brought up is, you can't do that. You can't pick and choose. This is not a buffet. You take the whole thing, and it's the whole Word of God, and you got to conform to it. And part of the problem that we have right now is especially in America, we're so Christian in our culture. This Bible has shaped so many things that we don't even know where they come from, so we can no longer defend them. And one of the things that I think is really important is where we have in 1 Peter 3:15, Peter says you should be able to give a reason for the hope that's within you. Now, a lot of us can give an answer, but we can't give a reason. And there's a big difference.
That is interesting.
See, a great example. We'll talk about kids in a minute because kids are really the victims of that verse because we don't train them for 1 Peter 3:15. But I talk to churches and groups all the time, and I'll say, how many of you Christians out there think the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God? Everybody raised their hands. I go, I want you to give me five reasons you believe that. I have yet to have an adult give me a reason that they know the Word of God. Now, they can give me an answer. Oh, yeah, it's inspired, it's infallible. Give me a reason. See, they can't defend it. If they get attacked, they don't have a reason. I do the same thing on the virgin birth. You know, believe in the virgin birth? Yeah, give me five reasons the virgin birth is true. We can't give a reason for the hope that's within us. And the reason that's significant is we train our kids to know what the beliefs are, but not know why they believe that. Mm-hmm. And so when they get to university, a professor with 14 PhDs said, virgin birth? Do you realize how stupid that is? That is physically not possible. You believe that? And the kids get so humiliated because you got 14 PhDs staring you, and they've not been trained to give a reason for the hope that's within them. Now, they know the answers because their parents gave them the answers. Yeah, it's a virgin birth and inspired scriptures, and we go through all that. Well, we can't, and the problem we have, and the biggest, I think the biggest danger to the church today is that right now, our kids that we raise in Christian homes, Christian families, and Christian churches, depending on which study you look at, between 71 and 88% of our Christian kids renounce their faith while they're at college. Mm-hmm. And that's because they don't know what they believe. They know what they believe, they can't defend it. So we've not been trained to use our brain to be able to go in and say, why is it that having secular education is totally bad? What are the results of it? Now, is it bad? Yeah. Give me a reason. Give me five reasons why. You know, why is it that the Bible wants elected officials? I mean, give me five reasons. People can't do that. Oh, well, we've always had elected government. It's always better. Why? You know, there's seven forms of government in the Bible. Why is it that God settled on us choosing our own leaders? See, that's where we oftentimes are shallow, and that's where we get conformed to the world because we haven't trained ourselves to give a reason for the hope that's within us. And that's why it's so significant that if we're going to be like Him and think like Him, we got to reason like Him. We have to go in and understand the whys of this thing.
It's, if you're going to live, have your being, and all your need source is in one place, in one kingdom, then you have to know how that kingdom functions.
Yeah, you do.
You can't, if a person was born in one culture, grew up in that culture, didn't know anything but that, didn't know anything but its laws and its rules. Certain things were illegal. Mm-hmm. Certain things get you in serious trouble over there.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, he's adopted out of that by parents that live over in this culture that's totally different.
Different, yeah.
But he gets over here, and he don't know how to live here.
Yeah.
Things here that people do in common practice would get you killed over there
in
that.
Yeah, that's right.
So if he's still thinking here...
Yeah.
Like he was trained to think over there. There are certain freedoms over here he'll never enjoy because he's still afraid to
That's
do
right.
it.
That's right.
And he doesn't know why.
He doesn't
have a clue as why it's all right here and it wasn't all right over
there. He's still conformed to this system over
here. So somewhere he's hung in a state of confusion between the two. And he's not getting anything out of either one of them.
That's right.
And that's what Jesus was talking about. He said, you can't live in two worlds.
That's right.
You can't serve two governments. You can't serve two masters.
That's right.
You'll hang on to one and hate the other one or not and totally despise and misunderstand one. And you're just hanging in a state of confusion and you're not getting anything out
that's
of
right.
either one of them.
You know, and the thing that has really stood out to me in the scriptures on how to get something out of it goes back to a significant word, and that's meditation. When you look at Joshua 1:8, he says, this book of the law, one part of it, but you'll meditate in it day and night. And that meditate is using the mind. Let's think about it. Over in 1 Timothy 4:15, he says, meditate on these things, and your change will be evident to all. But the precursor is meditation. It's not enough just to read it. That's good stuff. It's like digestion. You know, there's a disease in the world that you can eat all the time, but your body doesn't digest it. You can die eating all the time, but it's not become obese. It's just you never absorb anything. It doesn't go in. And that's what meditation is. It's digestion. You take a verse, and there's great things you can, some of the questions that are, now who did Jesus write that to? Now, why did he say that? Now, where were they when you start asking questions? And that's one of the great emphasis, and just a great verse, Matthew 25, Jesus goes through and says, now I was hungry and you fed me, and I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink, and I was naked and you clothed me. And we look at that and say, hey, government needs to take care of the poor. Well, meditation says, now who was he talking to when he said that?
Yeah.
Oh, he wasn't talking to government, was he?
No,
he
was, not at all.
And see, that's where you, otherwise you'll take, and that's what social justice movement does. They take that verse and say, government should be taking care of the poor. No, that's not meditation.
And then preach it in church
and
like
preach
it's
it in
Bible.
Church. That's right.
And confuse all.
And because
whole
we don't know the reason
people,
that's there. And mm-hmm. that goes, we say, now, wait a minute, who was he? He was talking to his disciples, wasn't he? Yeah, it was his disciples. Why did he say that? And you go back to Isaiah 58, and you know, I've got to touch this one for a minute because I think every Christian's probably heard this famous passage on prayer and fasting. And he says, this is the kind of fast I want. This is the kind of prayer I want. And he says, is this not the fast I have chosen to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the oppressed, to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke? I mean, we look at that and say, this is a good deal. Prayer and fasting is really good. the very next verse is really significant. Praying and fasting, he says, is it not to teach you to deal your bread to the hungry? Is it not that you bring the poor into your house, and that when you see the naked, that you don't hide? Wait a minute, who's he talking to? He's not talking to the government to pray and fast here. He's talking to individuals praying and fasting. He said, the reason I've got you praying and fasting is so you learn to see needs, so that you'll bring the poor into your house, so that you'll take care of those that are naked. Now, see, if we don't meditate on these things, we're just going to fit this scripture into the world over here. We're going to conform it the wrong way. And we go, oh, yeah, well, government needs to spend more time helping the poor. Government needs to have more. No, that's not biblical. And that's why if we're conformed to this world, we will never get the results that he wants us to get. We have to think differently and act differently.
It was about 2 years out of the very beginning of this ministry. And right in the very earliest days of it, the Lord had started dealing with me about the scripture you talked about in meditating the Word.
Yeah.
And so I had started doing that, going back through one verse at a time, not whole chapters at a time.
That's right.
One verse. Now then, now that that verse has said that, how does that change my life?
Exactly.
Since this is true.
That's right.
And that kind of thing. And I've been doing this for about 2 years now. And the Lord gave me an assignment that how are we ever going to do that? Yeah. It was just one more step out there that just was about overwhelming. I don't know how you ever do this. Well, I was driving down the street and I stopped at a signal light. And I just stopped there and just kind of dropped my head over on the steering wheel and I said out loud, I said, I don't know how we'll ever do that. And I heard it. I mean, it's almost like something, I didn't hear it audibly, but yet at the same time seemed me like I did. And I heard, yes, you do. I said, I do. He said, yes, you do. I said, how? He said, give, and it'll be given unto you again.
Yeah.
Now, Jesus said the whole kingdom of God is as if a man cast a seed into the ground. Here is a whole concept of thinking that had to be renewed. I can't bring that, how are we ever going to do this? I've got to go out and raise it. I've got to do this.
Yeah.
I've got to do that. Over into what he said do.
And doesn't fit.
How is that ever going to do anything? I mean, it didn't make sense.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden it started making faith.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, all right.
I still
didn't know hardly any more than I did a minute and a half before when I got a hold of that. But he reminded me of the kingdom concept.
Yep.
And once I got back off that and over here. Now I can deal with it.
Yeah.
As long as I'm thinking about over here what I can't do and how I can't do it, then, some years later, I got caught up in it again when he put us on the radio. Man, dear God, it just about swamped me. And because he said he wanted it on every available gospel radio station in North America. Well, I agreed before I knew there's 700
of
them.
That's right. That's a lot of stations.
I was in a meeting in Little Rock, and I just flopped across the bed between the services and morning and night. I just said, oh, Lord, how we ever get that kind of money in here? And it just, again, quite about like what that was like a few years before, I heard this. Don't seek ways to get the money in.
Yeah.
Seek the ways to get the word out.
Yeah.
Let me take care of the income.
Yeah.
Your job is to preach the word.
Yeah.
Here again was kingdom concept.
Yep.
I still didn't know the mechanics of it. Didn't need to.
Didn't need to.
I needed to have faith in God faith in the Word, yep. faith in the kingdom, mm-hmm. faith in what Jesus did, what God did when He raised Him from the dead, instead of choosing that other system.
Yeah, that's right.
He was weaning me off that thing over there that I'd been raised in, get me to think over here on this one.
And see, that's the key, is transferring our thinking. Because He says in Isaiah 55, I don't think like you do. My ways are not your ways. I mean, my thoughts are a lot higher than yours. And He says, if you want to gain your life, you got to lose your life. And people say, man, I can't afford to tithe. I got too many medical bills. I got too many car bills. Exactly.
That's the reason
That's
you
exactly
got
why you got to tithe. Yeah. I mean, if you tithe, it's like the Israelites, all of a sudden their sandals last 40 years in the wilderness. You know, you don't need as many clothes. You don't need as much medical care.
But the whole concept
is so different from
I believe it was Oklahoma City anyway. I was driving and Oral was, he was preparing to preach that afternoon. And he just buried over here like this. All of a sudden, he said, Kenneth, man, I jumped. He said, people will always tell you you can't do it.
Yeah.
He said, if you'll do three things. Number one, find out the will or the plan of God.
Yeah.
Number two, don't confer any longer with flesh and blood.
Yeah.
Don't go ask that other world if this world over here will work.
Because
they'll
right.
always tell you no,
right.
it won't, and give you all the reasons
That's
why
right.
you shouldn't even think about it.
Yeah.
But he said, then get your job done at any cost.
That's right.
And then he just buried back up again. And I'm sitting there, well, just as fast as I could get him out and get it out, and wrote those three things down.
Yeah.
Gloria and I laid that as a foundation for our planning, seeking. I mean, this is while I was still a student there at Oral Roberts University. Later that year, when we went in this ministry full time, those three steps were the, and they still are, that's still that basic foundation of it. The general practice was make the plan, then take it to God and see if He'll bless it.
Yeah.
But if you'll go to God and get the plan.
Get the blueprint first. You betcha.
The blessing's already there.
You betcha. Because He wants it done, He's going to get it done.
And we're out of time.
That's way too fast.
Brother.
I got some more of you.
No. Brother David and I'll be back in just a moment.
We the believers must shape our future. But why look back? God said, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Now more than ever, it's crucial to know what saves a nation. God's Word produced America's success for centuries.
If we can understand American exceptionalism, understand why we are prosperous and free and stable, we can go back and protect those seeds that have caused us to be a different nation.
Join David Barton in Building on the American Heritage. You'll be engaged as he unveils the truth of America's past.
You just blew another paradigm, because you said the very purpose of education is so you could study the Word of God to hold your leaders
That's right.
accountable.
His extensive breakdown will give you clarity on what God expects of government, the church, and the individual, so you can enforce a better tomorrow.
Jesus said, hey, you're salt. You're the thing that preserves this. Well, guess what? If we pull ourselves out of the civil arena, we pull the preservative out. Mm. It's going to get rotten real quick.
It's your duty. You were raised for such a time as this. Order Building on the American Heritage series today for just $59.95, a savings of 25%. Join David Barton and discover the Founding Fathers' biblical intent. This clarity will empower you to act wherever you are. And when you act, the people will once again rejoice. Discover the truth and make a stand. For an additional product discount and 48-hour processing, order online. Or call toll-free 800-600-7395. For this and other KCM products, go to kcm.org.
The first time I saw this new set of Building on the American Heritage, six DVDs by David Barton, first time I saw this, I got to get me one of them. Because these things, it's so thrilling when you get into what actually happened in this country, how it came about, the thinking of the people, that brought these things into being, why they worked like they work, why people had to give their lives to get it into motion. It is one of the most exciting stories in the history of man. And the problem of it is that our children are not even hearing about it anymore. We got, even as far back as when I was in school, it had already begun to be watered down by then, but least we got basic facts, and if you wanted to study it, you could still get it out there.
It was still there.
And now you got to fight to get it.
Yeah.
But you really need to get hold of these and teach your children and teach your grandchildren. I'm telling you that you can have movie night on this stuff. It is powerful. It is good. Get hold of this. Now, I need you to be praying for Glory and Me. November the 10th through the 12th, we're going to be at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia, which is just a suburb of Washington, D.C. Always, for the last 17 years, we've had that meeting there. And God has used that as a time to pray for the whole area, to praise God and lift up the power of petition before God. It's been an amazing time of revelation from heaven. So you be praying for us. Get there. Pray about it if God may assign you to be there and be a part of it. This has been a powerful day today. Don't miss any of the rest of the week, because we're going now into the things that bring results in your house. Regardless of what's going on around you, in all kinds of problems financially, all those kind of things, and it's good, and you don't want to miss it. So, this is Kenneth Copeland, David Barton, reminding you again that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For today's broadcast on DVD or CD, our product offer, or for more information on KCM, visit kcm.org. Online, you'll find free ministry resources to help you live every day in faith. Receive God's promise that everything is going to be all right. No matter where you are, if you have internet access, you are seconds away from life-changing answers thanks to the power of search at kcm.org. It's easy. Just find this keyword search block. Enter a word, speaker name, topic, or scripture. Search gives you instant 24/7 access to more than 40 years of revelation and inspiration from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Try keyword search today at kcm.org. Come to these exciting meetings. The Copelands welcome you the 10th through 12th of November to the 2011 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. The Branson Victory Campaign, the 8th through the 10th of March, 2012, at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. Living Victory West Coast Faith Encounter, April 13th and 14th at the Hilton Anaheim in Anaheim, California. For more information, go to kcm.org.